Jessica Clement of the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association. A lot of chatter that I've been hearing in the last several days about trying to get some kind of a budget deal done. Jess, we see Democrats in the Senate saying, let's start working on this now. Let's not wait till everybody comes back. As you do your job on the Hill in the last couple of weeks, have you started to hear any takers for that kind of a buzz? Thanks for your time today.
No problem, as always. Thank you for having me. We're working with a lot of congressional offices right now to get a sense of what September is going to look like. Of course, no appropriations bills have passed both chambers of Congress, or signed into law. So we have, or Congress has 1 month left when they come back on September 8th, actually. So what is that, only 3 weeks?
Yep.
To get 12 appropriations bills passed. Well, you and I both know that's not going to happen. So what comes next? Probably a continuing resolution. All right, does it go through December, mid-December? Do they only do it for 6 weeks when they think they're going to hit the debt limit? There's a lot of what-ifs going into September, trying to get a handle on what this might look like. I think there are Democrats in particular are pushing for a bigger budget deal, 2 years, something that looks like the Ryan Murray budget deal from December of 13, which, as you and I both know, took an additional $6 billion from federal employees. I think any bigger deal that extends beyond 1 year or any deal that ties in an increase in the debt limit to a CR should have federal employees and retirees very nervous.
There are a number of scenarios floating around. The most recent one that I heard was the idea of a short-term continuing resolution to give Congress time to jam together all the bills in an omnibus, or a bunch of the bills in an omnibus package again. Do those kinds of mechanisms normally make a difference as to what the outcome looks like for federal employees?
So, for federal employees, as it relates to their pay and benefits, no. As it relates to how much money their agency gets to, say, do training or buy a new office equipment, then yes, of course it does. But looking at it, you know, from a benefits, pay and benefits standpoint, a CR is not usually impactful to federal employees and retirees. You know, technically, appropriations bills aren't supposed to legislate. You're not supposed to set policy in appropriations bills. So it's not supposed to include things that aren't funded through appropriations. So, for instance, that would mean, let's look at the change in the G fund, right, that we fought with the highway bill. A provision like that would not appear in a CR. However, and I think you're right, looking at the CR scenarios, it will probably be a short term to get through a few weeks, probably a few months. I wouldn't expect it would go longer than past the end of December, but you never know. So you get a short term CR, probably don't have to worry about that too much, but then they get a couple weeks to figure it out, a couple months, then what? You have an omnibus or another CR. If those pieces of legislation contain a increase in the debt limit or maybe rolls in the highway bill or an Iran deal or anything else that is not appropriations related that is going to need an offset, then you have a situation where federal employee and retiree pay and benefits could easily be on the chopping block.
And I recall a conversation that you and I had back in the spring where the danger in some of these issues becomes when a dollar figure is attached to it, then it becomes easier for a member to say, oh, well, here's a place where we could get X number of dollars by doing this, whatever this happens to be.
Absolutely correct. We saw that play out with the highway bill at the end of July, beginning of August. The Senate wanted a six-year highway bill, and to get a six-year highway bill, you have to pay for it. So what'd they do? They went right back to the House budget resolution, which passed back in March, that contained $318 billion worth of cuts to the federal community, and said, oh, I like this G fund proposal. Budget committee determined that saves me $32 billion. Great, let's use that to pay for our nation's roads, right? So yes, once that idea is on paper, it's far too easy for members of Congress to go back, especially once something's passed, and say, oh, well, this already passed the House. Why not use this?
Jessica Clement of the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association, headed to the Hill on an ongoing basis to determine what is happening about pay and benefits and other issues that affect federal employees and retirees. Is there a priority list of things that you think are most likely to get picked on throughout this, or is it kind of so unpredictable at this point that it's hard to pick ones or some over others?
Well, one of the things we were told yesterday, like I said earlier, we're having a lot of meetings leading up to the start of September and what that may mean. Commonly held belief on the Hill right now is that that G Fund proposal isn't going away anytime soon. We were able to successfully fight its inclusion in the Senate Highway Bill. I think that is a testament to the lobbying outreach on behalf of the federal employee and retiree groups, but as well as the grassroots efforts of a lot of NARF members. We sent thousands of letters to Capitol Hill and phone calls as well, trying to get that provision out. We were successful, but that means it's available for other things. And Congress still hasn't passed the highway bill. I think that G Fund proposal is going to come back up. I think we're always going to see an increase in retirement contributions for current federal employees considered. It's something Congress has been trying to do for 5 years. We've been successful in fighting it off. But again, it means it's still on the table for future pieces of legislation.
In case somebody missed it, give me the thumbnail on the G Fund proposal that you've mentioned.
Sure. So right now, the rate of return on the G Fund is calculated using the four-year Treasury bond rate of return. The piece of the House budget resolution would change that, so it would use the three-month Treasury note instead. What that means is that the interest accrued on your any money you have in the G Fund, which 4.3 million people do, would go from roughly 2% a year to 0.02% a year. It would essentially render the G Fund all but useless. You're not even remotely keeping up with inflation. Your money, you get a better rate of return on your savings account at your bank. So it really renders the G Fund useless. The Thrift Savings Plan Board went full court press on the offensive with this and talking about how bad it would be. $21 million in the G Fund are invested in the L Fund. They would divest those holdings immediately. We'd tell people, you know, take your money out of the G Fund. Eventually, that savings, the $32 billion that the House Budget Committee determined this provision would save, would not be realized because the G Fund would eventually cease to exist because no one would be invested in it anymore. Additionally, when the U.S. Treasury hits the debt limit and runs out of money to pay its bills, where does it turn? It turns to the G Fund,
yep.
And it borrows that money to pay its bills and then pays it back. You take away that option, we've just hit our debt limit much, much faster than we would have otherwise. This has actually real-world implications, not just federal employee implications.
There are pretty long-term ramifications there, too, as well, it sounds like.
Sounds like it. But it's got a price tag, or it's got a savings of $32 billion, and unfortunately for us, members of Congress see that, and they don't see anything else.
Jess, that's where we'll leave it. Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.